We are going to forego Psalms 139, the last two verses. We'll look at that week after next if you'll want to get ahead a little bit. This morning, if you would please, let's go to Matthew chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 20. The title of the message this morning is What I Can Learn from a Mom. What I Can Learn from a Mom. We're going to begin reading in verse number 20. The Bible says, Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left hand, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. As we think today of Mother's Day, I don't know exactly when it was that it became a permanent time in America's history. I think the date has been changed several different times, but it's good that we kind of slow down and recognize our moms. But let me say to you that we don't have to wait to just a certain calendar year to a calendar date of the year in order to just tell our moms that we love them, that we appreciate them, that we know that they've made some sacrifices for us, and we ought to do that. In jest, I read these things a while back. It says, things that moms teach us. You can probably relate to some more than others. Moms teach us about foresight. They said, please make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Did your mother ever tell you that? Yes, she did. Mothers teach us about foresight. Mothers teach us about logic. It's logical. And if you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. Mothers teach us about maturity. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. Mothers teach us about religion. You'd better pray that comes out of that carpet. Mothers teach us about traveling in time. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Mothers teach us about contradictions. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Mothers teach us about perseverance. You are going to sit there until you eat every last piece of that broccoli. Mothers teach us about the weather. This room looks like a tornado went through it. That's probably about all we better bear with those today. Amen. Let's look back to our text and get real for just a little bit this morning. As the Bible testifies, the Bible says in verse number 20 of our text, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. And as you think about this, I wonder what particular thing it was that Salome found in the Lord Jesus. She saw something in the Lord Jesus. Now, knowing we're getting down closer to the end of his ministry, and she perhaps had been observing things that he did and things that he had done. And I'm wondering if it was a particular thing that she saw that caused her to think, this man is different. I wonder. I don't know. The Bible just says that she came to him. There came to him the mother of Zebedee's children. And so, you know, the invitation of Jesus has always been, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you a rest. When Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's recorded for us that there was all kinds of confusion when he came down, and when he began to hear from different people what was going on. The story was that I have this son, and he's possessed with devils, and I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't help him. And Jesus said, bring thy son unto me. Not bring him unto religion, not even bring him unto church, but bring him unto me. And so it's been for a long time that Jesus welcomed people to come to him. And this mother sensed that. And the Bible says that she came with her two sons. Mama, you'll have more to do with your children's attitude about the things of God than any other person on the planet. You spend more time with them than any other person, and you have a greater closeness to them than any other person. And so she brought her two sons. And these were James and John. And they, of course, they're referred to in other places, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And we find out that when you get down here into verse number 24, when the ten heard of it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. And here I find that these two sons were grown up men. They weren't in a bassinet. They weren't in a double bassinet and she's pushing them up to see Jesus. That wasn't how it was. Jesus did entertain children, babies included, but not these two. These men are big men. They're the apostles. They're two of the apostles. And the Bible testifies that she brought them to the Lord Jesus. And Mama, you may be having some things in your children's lives that you right now or may in the future, things that you don't really like, things that you don't approve of. They're not too big. They're not too old to bring them to Jesus. Now, you may not be able to grab them by the hand and take them personally, and these fellows went personally because in another reference, we find them talking to Jesus too about this request. But you can bring your children to the Lord every day, several times a day, if you'll bring them in prayer. And I believe that the Lord wants us to talk to him about the very needs that we have. And in fact, just notice in our text, the Bible says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him. And so I think that this was probably maybe a trip that she had made before, and maybe she hadn't brought her children. I don't know. Worshiping is mentioned 188 times in our Bible. The first time it's mentioned is found in Genesis, I think it's chapter 22, where Abraham takes Isaac and goes up on the mountain. And you remember, the Bible says, as they got to the foot of the mountain, they left the servants there, and they took the wood off of the animals, and they started up there. They told the young men, you stay here. The young man and I will go to the mountain and we'll worship. That's the first time it's used. And that tells me, because when you find the first definition, the first thought about worship, the first thought about a word in the Bible, usually the thought passes through all the way through the Bible. And listen, when Abraham went to the top of that mountain to worship, it was going to cost him something. Abraham knew 3 days earlier, before he left his home, before he kissed his wife on the cheek and said, I'm going in obedience to the Lord, I'll be back. He knew for 3 days he had gone, and he knew that he was going to go up on that mountain and he was going to worship, and it was going to cost him something. Mama, when you think about worship, I drive around town, different places, and I see a sign and it says, worship service, such and such a time. And you wonder, do they even know what worship is? Do they understand that there's a cost, there's a price to worship? Of course, it's easy to understand there's the price of time. Brother Weaver mentioned time as one of our precious commodities that we can give to the Lord. But that's a price. That's a price. And worship costs us something. And I don't know if she had really considered what this trip to Jesus was going to cost her, but she came worshiping him. And then the Bible says that she was worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. I think sometimes, and you see it sometimes when people pray in church, a list of things are given to pray for, and sometimes we pray for everything except what's on that list. Sometimes I think when we come to the Lord in prayer, we're proud of the fact that this is not just mama's problems, this is mama's, daddy's, and children's problems. We come to the Lord in prayer, we come and taking time, we come and the energy and all those things, but when we start talking to him, we talk to him about everything except what's really on our heart. We talk to him about so many things except what's really on our heart. And here's the Bible says that the difference for her was that she desired something. If you could have the number one desire of your life, Mama, today, if God would just open up heaven and give to you the number one desire of your heart, what would it be? What would it be? And how long has it been since you went into your prayer closet and shut the door and talked to the Lord about that burden, about that desire? Didn't talk to him about the weather. Didn't talk to him about political corruption. Didn't talk to him about anything. But you talked to him about that desire. You came with the attitude of worship. You came honoring him for who he was. But you came with a desire. How long has it been since you really brought your desire to the Lord? I confess that, and I've mentioned this once already this morning, but we had the men's meeting projected out. We probably set the dates 3 or 4 or 5 months before time for it. And I don't know what all happened. God's working on the preacher's heart about some things, I'm sure. But supper was at 5:30. At 5 o'clock, I looked at the clock. At 5 o'clock, I looked behind the counter at the number of ladies who are there. At 5 o'clock, I looked over here at the number of men that were here. And the number of ladies that were going to be serving were more than the men that were there. 30 minutes before we're supposed to eat. I'll guarantee you, I talked to him about the desire of my heart. My desire was, God, give us men. And he did. He did. Not necessarily an answer to my prayer, but I know that some other people were praying. I know the ladies weren't relishing, okay, you serve this man, and you serve this man, and you serve this man, and the rest of you can wait back in the wings. That's what it looked like to start with. But when we really got to praying about it, at the last moment, people begin to come in and come in and come in. How long has it been since you took the real desire of your heart and just talked to the Lord about it? You know, I know it's a guy instead of a gal, but when Jacob, who didn't have the best record in the world for manliness or the best record in the world for obedience or the best record in the world for lack of sin in his life, Jacob, when he decided to talk to the Lord about the desire of his heart, he got a hold of the Lord, and the angel said, let me go, day's breaking. He said, I'll not let you go until you answer me. How long has it been since your desire put you in contact with the Lord and you said to him simply, I will not let you go until you answer me? Mama, you could do that. Mama, you could do that. The Bible says that she came desiring a certain thing of him. And then notice in verse number 21, she comes to Jesus and she's there in front of Jesus. She has this desire in her heart, and the Lord asks her the question, what wilt thou? We'd probably say, what do you want? How can I help you? Can I be a blessing to you? Is there something I can do? Something of that nature. But Jesus asked the question, he says, what wilt thou? Now, do you think Jesus didn't know what she wanted? Jesus knows everything, the end from the beginning. There's two things. I said the other day, there's one thing he doesn't know, and that's confessed sin, but there's another thing he doesn't know. He doesn't know the date or the hour that he's returning. That's been reserved for the Father alone. But other than those two things, as far as I know, he knows everything. And so he didn't ask her the question, "What wilt thou?" because he didn't know. Mama, he asked that question because he was wanting to initiate a conversation between him and her. I don't know how God listens to everybody at one time. I don't know. I don't know. I just know that he wants to. And I know that he has the ability to. And knowing how isn't important. Knowing that he does is what is important. And Jesus wanted to initiate this conversation between him and this mama with her two grown-up boys. She came with a request, and the request was a good one in her heart and mind. What wilt thou, Jesus said. And she didn't have to say, would you fix Susie's tricycle? And would you do? She didn't do any of that stuff. She says, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on my right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. That's getting to the point. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you've seen this happen in your raising of your children. When the child first starts praying at the table is a good place for them to pray. When they go to bed at night, it's a good place for them to pray. I guess when they get up in the morning, it's a good place for them to pray. But a lot of times, people will have their children pray at a table and say, okay, Johnny or Susie or whoever it is, it's time for you. You can pray. Say the blessing. Thank God for the food. And they'll go, Lord, thank you for the food and the peppers and the salt and the glasses. That's how we pray sometimes. That's not how this mama prayed. This mama has Jesus' undivided attention, and she didn't beat around the bush. She says, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on my right, one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. And then notice Jesus' answer. You know not what you ask. I believe what Jesus is saying is that we can't change what has to be. He says, well, he says down here, in fact, he said, let me find it here. He says, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. See, that decision's already been made, and we're not going to change it. You don't have any idea what you're asking. I wonder if God has ever said that when I prayed. You have no idea. You have no idea. You know, thou knowest not what thou askest. Is that you know not what ye ask. And when he said what ye ask, it indicates again that I mentioned before that these boys had been talking to him too. More than one person. What ye ask. Now I can understand why mama would want her boy right there and her boy right there in the kingdom. I can understand that. Place of honor, place closest to the Lord and so forth. I don't have any problem with that. But Jesus says, you don't have any idea what you're asking. Sometimes we ask such improper things of him. Some things that won't mount to a hill of beans just a little bit later. And Jesus tells her plain out. He said, you know not what you ask. And then notice he asks him a question. He says, are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say unto him, we are able. That almost sounds like pride in their part. Yes, we can, Lord. Yes, we can. But notice how he answers them. He said, and he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Jesus says you're asking an impossible thing. You're asking an impossible thing. Now, so he says, but I'm wanting my child to to serve the Lord. That's not an impossible thing. It seemed to me like that Jesus is saying here, the only reason I am not answering this is because I can't answer it. That's already been decided. That's already been decided. It can't be changed. It's already been decided. But whether your child is saved or lost, that's not been decided yet if they're still breathing. That's not been decided yet. Whether your child will serve the Lord or not, that's not been decided if they're still alive. Mama, what are you asking the Lord for? What certain thing are you desiring the Lord for? And have you run it through the Word of God to find out if what you're asking is possible? Sometimes we ask God to do something He can't do because it would be contrary to the book. It would be impossible to do. And we ask Him to do it, and when it's not done, we get discouraged and say, God's not answering my prayers. But there's some prayers God can't answer. Not the way we want them answered. Just can't. But you know, I see something else about this mother. There's not a word said here about her objecting to the Lord. First off, I'm impressed that the Lord, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Power, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that He wants to talk to this mother. That He initiates a conversation with His mother. That impresses me about Him. But I'm impressed by this mother that she accepts so readily the answer that He gives her. You don't find her arguing at all. She doesn't say, but this one is so strong, and this one is so well-educated, and this one is just so naturally smart or intelligent. You don't find her, no answer, no argument, no anything. And listen, when you come to the Lord and believe that He has the power to answer your prayers, you have to believe that He has the right to answer them differently than what you ask Him to. Amen. That He addresses our prayer is what we ought to thank Him for. That he would even listen to us. And then that He addresses our prayer, addresses our request. You say, well, boy, she must have fell out of fellowship with the Lord. She must have just gotten real discouraged. And no. Because when you search the Scriptures later, and you find the ladies that are at the tomb, the mamas that are at the tomb of the Lord Jesus. Salome is one of them. She didn't get discouraged because Jesus didn't do what she asked Him to do. She continued to serve Him. Maybe He began to serve Him better than ever before. I don't know. But I know this. This wasn't the last time she was in His presence. She was in His presence when the men left. She's in His presence. This mama had a lot of things going for her. And the big thing that she had going for her was her love for the Lord Jesus, her confidence in Him, and the love for her kids. The Bible tells us later that the 10 got indignant. They were moved with indignation against the two brothers because of their request. This mama had a lot going. We can learn a lot from this mama, but like all other parts of the Bible, if we don't let God make application to it to our lives, it's not going to benefit us any. There's a lot of benefit here for the mother who says, I want to serve God God's way. There's a lot of benefit here for the Christian who will say, I want to do what God wants me to do the way He wants it done. Now, let me ask you this. How much do you desire, and what do you desire of the Lord? You can learn something from this lady. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heads are bowed.